Welcome back to the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. This is Chad the Mark with
Canadian Biggie.
And it's just us. It's just you and me, pal.
You know, I'm happy to be back to Canadian Biggie.
You weren't here last week. I forgot about that.
I enjoyed some maple syrup. I'm
Wait. You sneak that past me. I got to back up. You said Canadian Biggie. He died 2 weeks ago. Then you weren't here last week, and now you're saying Canadian Biggie again?
Rebirth like the Phoenix.
I don't know if I like that. I'm still just going to call you Biggie.
I had pancakes with some maple syrup, and I watched the Maple Leafs play, and now I'm back to being Canadian.
Speaking of Canadians, do you see Joey Votto's at Toronto Blue Jays spring training now? Yeah.
So now, did he sign a contract? Is he just a
I don't know what spring the deal
training
is.
Invite? Or?
I think it's just that for right now. I could be wrong. Because here's the thing, nothing against Mr. Joey Votto. And it's a great story for him to go back to Toronto. But Toronto is a competitive team. Like, they have a chance to make a run of the postseason. Yeah. Roster spots are very valuable for them, and I don't know how much value a aging 40-year-old first baseman, you know, that's not playing well gives you. Although it's a nice story.
Well, he could be the who was that guy back in the day? Lenny Harris, just the ultimate pinch hitter. That's Joey Votto. Bring him in the ninth when you need a bat.
He could probably get you a walk. He's good at that.
Joey Votto should retire.
Yeah.
And but if somebody's willing to pay you, you are what someone's willing to pay.
I was watching his like little TikToks and Instagram videos and whatnot, and he definitely wants to play. Like, he doesn't want to sit on the sidelines. He was like being all depressed. He said, you know what? I'm not going to put my shopping carts back in the corral until someone signs me. Deal with it.
How much has he played for Cincinnati over the last 2 years? Actually on the field. You've been hurt a lot.
Yeah, probably 40 to 50% of the games.
So is he older than his age or younger because he hasn't been on the field?
I think he's age appropriate.
Okay.
He's oft injured as a elderly statesman of the game of baseball at this point. But either way, I thought that was a nice story. But I have an event I went to this past weekend that I want to tell you all about. But before we get into that, because I feel like we've kind of exhausted people in wrestling, because I don't know, it's just been, it's a great time for that. But it's also a great time for the NFL. They are kings, and they never lose at anything. And what is this? They do the early tampering thing, and then free agency starts, and they just never leave the news cycle, whether it was the combine or free agency started. Next thing you know, it's going to be summer camps and all that stuff. But this has been a hell of an off season. So is there any takeaways you have from the Wild Wild West that has been the free agency period?
Two. One I saw were the Falcons with Cousins, and maybe it was the Eagles with Saquon, but there's another team with the running back are being investigated for tampering. And to what you just said, there's a legal tampering period. Like, all the deals are announced 2 days before anyone can sign. So let's not act like these players and coaches and front office people don't all talk to each other. And the other thing is, the running back movement was crazy to me.
Yeah. And so what that says is there's no draft class.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to draft a running back.
Yep.
But I mean, it was a good market for guys like, I think Swift got a good deal. Josh Jacobs got a good deal. Saquon gets a good deal. I mean, there was a lot of running back movement. Tony Pollard went to Tennessee. Dallas didn't sign anybody yet.
You know what's really weird is Jerry Jones said they were all in, and they've done nothing. Like, just hoopla. So Tennessee, you bring them up. They're funny to me. A couple of years ago, they wouldn't. They traded A.J. Brown because they didn't want to give him the bag. They trade him away, and then they give the bag to Calvin Ridley, who's not as good as A.J. Brown.
No, but he's coming off nice rest period.
Yeah. No, he played last year for the Jags.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
It was the year before.
He was my spirit animal last year.
That's right. He was on the Jags.
Speaking of teams making weird moves, they signed Pollard. They let Henry walk. Derrick Henry in that backfield with Lamar Jackson. That's going to be fun to watch next year.
I don't even want to talk about the AFC North and what happened there. Like, well, Cincinnati did okay, but my God. Cleveland.
Well, and you're losing Baltimore. T. Higgins, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's asking for a trade, but look.
You traded Joe Mixon.
Cincinnati But we weren't going to trade Joe Mixon.
You were going to cut him, right?
They were going to cut him, and the Texans were like, hell, we'll give you a seventh round if you just trade him to us. And we're like, okay. I mean, that's how they looked at that. So, I mean, it's better to get, you know, something than
something
nothing.
Something to nothing.
But Cincinnati historically does not deal well with players that hold out, that complain about money. I mean, Corey Dillon was an example. He had to, that was at the end of his run, and he had to bitch, moan, and everything before they finally traded him to New England.
Carson
Palmer had to say he was going to retire before they traded him.
Yep.
You know, this is not, they're not the best team. They'll pay players, don't get me wrong, but they're not the best to negotiate with.
The AFC North is going to be the best division in football. Last year, they were the only division where every team,
right?
Yeah, they were the only division last year. Every team had a winning record. 9-8 was the worst record in the division. It's going to be like that again this year. The Steelers added Russell Wilson, who is an easy punching bag, but he had 26 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
You can't. No, if you hate that signing, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You
bring him in if they shore up the line. Their defense is stout, and you know what they did? They took Patrick Queen, Pro Bowler from last year.
From Baltimore.
Yeah, so I like that. Cleveland made a move, picked up Jerry Jeudy to go with Amari Cooper. They signed Jameis Winston to be a backup quarterback. Where's Joe Flacco? Nobody signed him. He could have been a backup.
Signed?
Who signed him?
I can't remember. He got like $7 million or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Keep talking about what you think. I'm going to look up and see what he got because we always
made those moves. So I look at Cleveland as a playoff team again. Baltimore, playoff team again. Pittsburgh was with Tomlin. They're always good. If Russell Wilson gives them, you know, top 15 type quarterback play, 15 to 18, somewhere in there, playoffs. So your Bengals, Joe Burrow, can he stay healthy? They're fourth in the division.
Don't you dare say that, brat bastard. Joe Flacco signed with the Colts.
Oh, nice.
So that is a good fit. Yep. Look at him coming back from obscurity, playing himself back in. And honestly, outside of those first couple games, he really wasn't that good last year.
He threw over a ton of yards, but he also threw a bunch of interceptions.
We just wanted him to be great, and he won those first couple games. And we're like, Joe Flacco, baby. And then like people were like, all right, we know what Flacco's doing. We got the tape. This is easy.
Yeah. I enjoyed free agency. It was a lot of pretty big moves. Some of them are just weird. You cut Aaron Jones to sign Josh Jacobs. Like,
well, I guess it's because where they're at in their contract. Yeah. It's just easier to start over with somebody versus, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me.
You let Henry go to bring in Tony Pollard. I mean, Austin Eckler to the Commanders. Just, there was a lot of running back movement, which was cool.
Yeah. So do you think, like, is this a nightmare matchup for anybody now in Baltimore, or is there no way that this works? Like,
I think it's unless.
Is he going to be like every other running back in Baltimore and just blow out his knee?
Yeah.
We don't wish that on you.
He catches that injury bug. If you think about it, when they do their RPO stuff, you could kind of feel the box before and focus on Lamar. And if Gus Edwards got the ball, who cares? Now you can't do that. You got Derrick Henry, who's the only guy ever, what is it, to run for 2,000 in high school, 2,000 in college, 2,000 in the pros. Got probably the greatest running quarterback in the history of football in Lamar Jackson. You know, last season's MVP. Decent wide receivers. Mark Andrews is back healthy. That's going to be a tough to stop. And with Harbaugh, he always likes to go forward on short yardage. Even on his own end, you're never stopping them on like fourth and one.
You got rid of Gus Edwards and got you Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Wow. That's who's Dallas going to have carry the ball?
I don't know.
They're going to have to draft somebody.
Yeah.
Dude, did you see about Dak Prescott news?
Yeah, allegations from 2017.
A sexual assault in the parking lot or something like that.
Yeah, and she's trying to extort him for $100 million.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Anymore, I never can tell. Is this Deshaun Watson or is it Trevor Bauer?
Yeah. Speaking of Trevor Bauer, somebody should sign that guy.
It still hasn't happened. Oh, you finally saw Dylan Cease got a new team.
He got signed. Padres?
Padres.
Man, they got a nice rotation.
I was still holding out hope Cincinnati might sign somebody, but they're not. They're not doing anything. But Blake Snell's still out there, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Blake Snell, and I thought there was one other Boris Montgomery.
Yeah.
He pitched for Texas last year. Those two are out there, and they both kind of overplayed their Hand. Same thing with Bellinger.
It's crazy that Major League Baseball free agency hasn't wrapped up and NFL free agency is taking over.
Yeah, that is nuts. Like, because when we were kids, the hot stove was like December and you had these signings. And now here we are, what, 10, 12 days from opening day?
Man, is it just that long? I guess we are in the. It doesn't seem like it's March 14th. It's Pi Day.
Yeah. Ooh. What's your favorite pizza toppings?
My favorite pizza. I'm a Supreme guy. Like, loaded up with everything. Yeah. The more veggies on a pizza, the happier I am.
Yeah, Supreme Deluxe. That's what I like.
I don't even have to have like that much pepperoni or sausage or anything like that. But like, you give me some mushrooms, some green peppers. I like the black olives. So, like onions. Give me all that.
Is there anything you will not eat on a pizza?
Oh,
okay.
Or are you going? Are you trying to insinuate pineapple?
I was going to see if you went there.
Do you like pineapple on pizza?
I will eat it. Yes, ham and pineapple.
I hate these elitists out there that try to tell you you can't have pineapple on pizza. And like, how many times have they eaten ham somewhere and it's been glistening with a pineapple just sitting on top of it? No, no. There's nothing wrong with Hawaiian pizza. Hawaiian pizza, Hawaiian subs, Hawaiian punch, Hawaiian hula dancers. I like it all. It's fine.
Our cohort, who is not here today, Gregory Rollins, likes to dabble in the pizzas. He had a pickle pizza last week. Yeah. I would have tried a pickle pizza.
Yeah, I mean that, but I like pickles. I do like pickles. Can't help it. Now, are you a dill pickle or a sweet and sour pickle?
I like them both. I like dill more than sweet and sour. But I like them both.
Hell yeah. That's how it should be. People that are predominantly sweet and sour, I have trust issues with.
Yeah.
Like, who hurt you? What happened? There's something wrong with that. I got to tell you about a weekend outing I had that, you know, Greg was supposed to go to, and he got tied up with some other plans. And we are wishing our buddy Greg a speedy recovery as he just came out of surgery today, and that's why he's not with us. But he seems to be on the mend, although he does look like, as he said, ready for the Crusades because his head's all wrapped up.
Looks like he shaved his head. That's what first when I looked at that picture.
It's flesh collared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had to click on the picture. I had to make sure. But I went to a wrestling event in Chillicothe, Ohio. So if you don't know, Chillicothe is about 40 miles south of Columbus, I'd say. Really not much there. Although Chillicothe is not a bad little town.
They got a Taco Del Mar.
They do. Well, that's out on the highway.
Oh, okay. So this wrestling event.
You ever stop there?
Yes. They have tacos and burgers.
You know what else they have in Chillicothe? I think it's in Chillicothe. They have a Rack's roast beef. Do you remember those?
That's got to be like one of three remaining in the country.
I think all three are in Ohio somewhere.
They have the only like true Pizza Hut left too, don't they?
They have that one. Illinois? No, there's like 20 of them.
Okay.
You're talking about the ones that still have the...
dine in, the pan pizza, the buffet.
We're still putting all the kale out to make our salad bar look amazing.
Yep.
Because it's just about 2.5 hours from here. And the past couple weekends, I've been wanting to make a trip with the family just to go have the old Pizza Hut, the OG Pizza Hut. And I'm sure it's not going to meet my expectations. Like, there's no way. Like, unless that jukebox was left there from 1995 and they still have Miss Pac-Man out there, yep, it's not going to be the same.
You'll enjoy it, though. Nostalgia kind of makes up for a few things that you wish were there that aren't.
There's two types of listeners, right? Like, they're going to be listening to this going, man, that sounds amazing. Be able to go to a retro Pizza Hut. And then the other half's like, what is this dumbass talking about? Pizza Hut sucks.
Just like Blockbuster, they should have closed Pizza Hut sooner.
This deal that you went to, it wasn't about the movies. It was about the experience about going out with your friends.
Yeah. And grabbing the one on the front, not knowing was there a cassette behind it or not.
Well,
and I got another question for you while we're on that, not to get too far off track, but when we were in a movies from Blockbuster back in the day, I understood why there was a 48-hour limit on your rental, right? Because they needed to actually get the cassette back. Why is it when you rent a movie now, there's still time limits on them?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
That's dumb, but that's besides the point. I'm sorry to
change course. I was never a big movie purchaser. You know, I was always a renter because I know some people love to buy movies. I think DVDs, I probably bought less than 10 in my entire life.
I can watch it and move on. And if I rented it, I could watch it twice and move on.
Right. And if I want to watch it again, I can go rent it. You know, it's not a big deal. But I know people that just had X amount of VHS, DVDs, whatever. And that's fine, but like, how many movies do you just really want to go back and watch? Now, if it's a kid's movie or something, kids are kind of like that, you know. I mean, you're going to play Barney the Dinosaur or whatever. You're just going to wear it out. But I enjoyed going to Blockbuster for the whole thing of finding the movie. But you know what was a game changer is when you knew somebody that worked there. Because then you could call in and be like, hey, I know they just, you know, came out with Titanic this weekend. I'm trying to get busy. I really need that. And I remember that was two VHS tapes.
Yeah.
that's how old and long that movie is. But I don't know. It's not the same flipping through Netflix. Mm-mm. It's just not. But I digress. The other thing, it's not the same. Well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I was thinking that with the two tapes there sort of set up, even when they went from going to Blockbuster and they had the Redbox or whatever where you could travel and get the DVD.
It was Redbox for a while.
Yeah. It was kind of the same concept. But
now, did you do OG Netflix?
No.
I did when they would just send you the DVD in the mail. So that's probably another reason why I never bought, you know, DVDs, because we just had Netflix and they just mailed them to you. And I remember one time we lost one and we just told them we sent it back and they didn't care. But Blockbuster, God forbid, if you didn't return a video, they charge you $120 for it. It's like they were suing you and they were counting all the lost revenue they didn't get from renting. I rented the movie Outside Providence and I forgot to take it back to Blockbuster and they charged me $120 in late fees. But I outlived them because those bastards went out of business first.
It's like if you die and all your credit cards are maxed out, you win.
Exactly. I got 6 months to live. Let me raise these limits.
Yep.
I'm not even paying it back next month. We'll just do cash advance on everything.
What was I going to say? Oh, I got way off track. The event you went to is, wasn't Virgil supposed to be at that one before he passed?
I believe he was advertised for that. The only people that didn't make it that were advertised, I believe, was, Austin Idol and, I really wanted to see, what the hell's his name? Blonde hair. He looks like your middle school gym teacher.
Greg the Hammer Valentine. Yes,
Greg the Hammer Valentine was supposed to be there and, they couldn't make it for travel issues or whatever. But anyway, so what this was, Chillicothe, Ohio, at the, you know, Ohio University Chillicothe school. They used the gymnasium and they set it up real nice. And you can go see, check out on Facebook. I think we put the pictures up if you guys want to see it. But it was basically a convention that started at like 12 and there was all these tables set up. And my wife and I went. And yeah, I'm a big wrestling fan. She's, you know, she tolerates it. But she knows some people and she didn't recognize a lot of these. And then like, we're walking around, like Kurt Angle walks right by us and he's like, hey, how's it going? And then my wife's just like she's starstruck for a second. And then, you know, we start making a lap and I'm seeing like Gilbert and, you got some ECW people, Sabu, RVD was there, Sandman. I mean, just some names people know, and then maybe some lesser names that people don't know. But overall, your big names doing signings was Kurt Angle and Matt Riddle, your bro. He was there. And then they had a wrestling event later in the evening, which they had like 10 matches. It was really good. And the main event was RVD versus Matt Riddle. And RVD can still do everything he could do. It's incredible how good a shape he's in.
RVD always had he had this thing and it became an Olympic weightlifting thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. He was lit. So we got to do a Q&A with him and we were asking him about that. That was his second attempt.
Okay.
The first attempt, they got it and the way the weights was positioned to him. He was doing, if I'm explaining this right to the listeners, he was basically trying to do the biggest split lift. I guess he was on like boxes. Like imagine putting milk crates three or four high and then doing a split on those milk crates and however much weight they put on his belt.
Yep.
You know, it's one of them type of things. But he does have the Guinness World Record.
Yes.
But anyway, I got to tell you about my wife's interaction with the wrestlers and some of that. This is pretty good. So a very good family event. A lot of good stuff going on. Concessions was piss poor. I'll say that. And they didn't serve alcohol. But that was kind of a, you know, it was family environment. No bleeding, no hardcore matches, nothing like that. It was still a really good show. So the wrestlers are there to, they're retired and they're there to make some money. You know, they're not in retirement pensions from WWE.
They're trying to sell some merch. And-
right. So, you know, most of it's like $20, $30. You know, depends on what you do. You can do $50, $100. Depends on who it is and what they charge. My wife thinks that you can just go up to them and ask for autographs and take pictures. And like, that's just what it is. I'm like, no, you gotta pay. And she's like, well, that's stupid. These people made money wrestling. Why do they need to make money selling autographs? I'm like, because they need the money. She's like, well, they should have kept their money. I'm like, well, you don't understand. Wrestlers have to pay for their own hotel rooms or rental cars. Like, just because they make money, you know, and some of them live a lifestyle that's expensive.
Every wrestler is an independent contractor.
Correct.
So if you live a lavish lifestyle, unless you're one of the top tier guys, that money's not lasting.
Right. And so she was really upset because she wanted to go see Kurt Angle after we talked to him. And I was like, yeah, we can go get a signed picture for $50. And she's like, they're all going to burn in hell for this. Like, this is terrible. I was like, why are you overreacting to this so much?
So does the,
I don't think it's right.
Does the pricing reflect how big of a star they were?
Depends on the star. Some of them are very modest and don't care. But yes, you know.
Who is the most expensive to sit down or get a picture with?
You could do a three-person interaction with Sabu, Sandman, and RVD. I mean, that's literally like ECW Hall of Fame, yep. Mount Rushmore type stuff.
How much was that? 50?
No, it was like 100-something. But all three of them signed it, and you were in the picture with them. You know, it was...
If I would have had a choice of the guys you named, I'd have spent $50 to get one of Kurt Angle. I love Kurt Angle.
So Buff Bagwell was there. You remember him?
Yeah.
All right, Buff Bagwell's there. He's still wearing his big goofy hat and all that. But we're there, and the, you know, Greg and Cheryl, who's sometimes here in the background on the show, she couldn't go, and she had paid to get Buff Bagwell's autograph. Already paid. So we're sitting there trying to think about how to do this. And I tell my wife, I was like, I think you need to be the one to go because it clearly says Cheryl on the ticket. I don't look like a Cheryl. Yeah. As insulting as you may want to be right now, I don't look like Cheryl. So I see the booth and he's over there. And I'm just like, just go over there. Just show him the thing and they'll let you get the signed picture. It's already paid for. And she's like, okay. And she goes over there. And she's probably gone like 10 or 15 minutes. I'm saying we have second row seats, but it's general admission. So I'm kind of saving our seats. So she's got a big shit eating grin on her face. She did a good job. She comes back. She hands me a picture and I look at it and I'm like, who the fuck is this? It's not Buff Bagwell. It's Scotty Riggs. Do you know who Scotty Riggs is?
No.
Scotty Riggs is in WCW. He was part of Raven's flock. I have this wonderful autograph. Scotty Riggs that I'm supposed to bring back to Cheryl who didn't ask for Scotty Riggs. So now I have to tell her, like, we got to go back. And she's like, well, you go. I was like, I don't want to pay for it. If you go back and tell them you made a mistake, maybe they'll let us, you know, just get the autograph. And she was feeling super embarrassed about it. And she concocted a story and, you know, went up there and told her she made a mistake and she felt bad because then the other guy, it's like, sorry, your autograph's not worth a damn thing to me. I just wanted this other guy. And we worked out pretty good, but she tells Buff Bagwell that our friend, you know, had a rendezvous, you know, years ago. And Buff Bagwell's like, wait a minute, what? And like, so we tried to FaceTime her. She didn't answer. It was her own fault. It would have been awesome, but an epic. And then my wife felt bad about the whole thing, even though they were nice and gave, you know, her the second autograph. Then she turned around and bought a candle from him. And I think all they did was went to like Dollar Tree and buy candles and like slap a picture of themselves on it.
Charged $5 for them.
So to be fair to my wife, Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell, they're traveling buddies. They're in the booth next to each other. She just got a little, you know, off topic. Went to the wrong guy.
Well, that's fine. She's a novice. She was there because she went with you. So.
Right, but I also learned that, you know, if you go off of hall pass theory, I found out who my wife has a hall pass for now.
Is that Buff Bagwell?
No. Although she did say once she started getting friendly with Buff, he got real friendly back. And I was like, yeah, he used to be a gigolo. Be careful.
Yeah.
But no, it was Matt Riddle.
Oh, okay.
She loves some Matt Riddle.
Well, to each their own. Buff Bagwell is the, guy that you would see in all the movies. He's the old guy who plays the young high school kid, like with how he acts and how he tries to look.
He's the guy at the party in Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
That's Bob Peck. Yep. He's aged a little bit. You know, he's not quite the same. But, you know, you still rock the big goofy hat and, you know, he's buff and still the stuff, I guess.
Yep.
But he was on a show on Showtime called Gigolos.
Really?
Yeah. You can find that on our on-demand service if you want to go see Buff Bagwell give some ladies a wild night in Vegas.
I'll pass. I don't need any of that.
Oh, but overall, it was a great experience. We had a good time. A lot of good stuff there. But I will say, my biggest takeaway is the crowd at a wrestling convention. It does deserve the stereotypes it gets.
Really?
Hey, there was I sound so mean saying this, but like the reality was, like, we were kind of stuck watching people as much as we were watching the event.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a whole family in the front row, and I couldn't tell who was moms and sisters and brothers and dads, or if they were all just siblings or what. And they had, I mean, I'm just trying to be nice, but I'd say they all had a touch of a tism or something.
Yeah.
Like, they were making faces. And you ever see Soft White Underbelly?
No, I haven't.
Oh, don't then. But that's what it reminded me of, is on YouTube, the Soft White Underbelly documentaries. But that was kind of crazy. Like, you ever have somebody that's looking at you, but you can't tell if they're actually looking at you or
looking
not.
Looking past you, but or at you. It feels like
they're just looking a hole through you.
Yeah.
And then they turn their head and you realize they're just cross-eyed. They weren't looking at you at all.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this was like. So I was glad, you know, we didn't. I did kind of have an incident with a guy at the ATM.
So he tried taking your money. He took your spot in line. Thought he was trying to look at your password or your passcode.
I was behind him, and he was in line. And the people that were in front of him, they were done, but they didn't really move out of the way. They just kind of took like one step to the side. And you really need two steps,
yep,
to be away from
the ATM. You need some privacy there.
Right. It'd be like you're the urinal, and then in the urinal next to you, know, they got to move one away.
It's a buffer seat.
Right. So I swear, like 30 seconds to a minute's gone by, and the guy in front of me has not done anything to take initiative to go use the ATM. And like, you can clearly walk up to it. Now, you might say, excuse me, and tell them to move so they're not looking at your password and shit, but you got a clear path. So I just ask him, I was like, hey, pal, are you, and that's what I said, hey, pal, are you going to use the ATM machine? And he goes, yeah, I'm just waiting on these people to move. I was like, all right, well, while you're waiting on them to move, can I use the ATM machine? And he just looked at me. And I was like, because I can just walk up there and like, there's where your card goes, and I can reach it. If you don't want to use it, I can go in front of you. And he just kind of shook his head at me and then went up there and did exactly what he should have done. Excuse me, they moved. And then he kind of like turned around and scoffed at me. I just said, don't get mad at me for helping give you initiative to finally get your place in line, buddy. I wasn't trying to be a jerk. And he just kind of like turned around and kind of looked at me. Then I realized his wife and son's like right next to him. And so I just kind of shut up. Right. So anyway, whatever. He goes, I don't see him even getting money out of the ATM. And that kind of pissed me off. But I had him so flustered, he was in a hurry, that his receipt was sticking out. And I couldn't help. I had to look.
Well, you were just trying to be nice and make sure it made it in the trash can next to it and it didn't end up as garbage on the floor.
But sometimes you have regret in life, and I regret kind of intimidating someone who had $29 in their account.
Well, you know, payday might have been Monday. You never know. Like, the end of the week.
Like, you, all right, so you got $29 and you go to a wrestling convention. You're only getting one autograph or maybe a candle.
He had free tickets and he came to get a candle.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. It is funny though. It is when I go to ATMs and the receipt from the person in front of me is in there.
You always look.
I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, but you look, right?
I grab it.
It's like a little window into somebody else's world.
Yep.
Like, you don't know anything about it. It's no different to me because you're not doing anything with that information. There's no private information. You can't do anything to hurt that individual. You don't know whose that is. It's no different than if you're at a restaurant and you look across and you're like, I wonder what that person does for a living.
Yep.
You know, you're just speculating. It's how you're trying to make sure you don't live in a simulation, right? Got to make sure these other people exist in real life.
Well, it's like if you got the cheeseburger and fries and one guy's got fajitas, so they're sizzling. The other guy's got steak and shrimp. And you're like, bet they got a better job than I do.
Right.
Maybe they just got different tastes. His $29 was worth the steak and shrimp.
But that could have just been his side account. You never know. He could have had multiple. Maybe he's trying to keep money away from his wife, and that's a shared account. Yeah, honey, let me look in our account. Wink, wink. You never know. Just like you never know if that guy on the Lexus at the stoplight next to you, who looks like he's on top of the world, goes home and cries all night because he's got more money going out in debt than coming in. But yeah, he's got a nice car, at least.
Well, he likes to look like he's living the life rather than living the life.
Speaking of living the life, I think we talked to somebody that is living the life.
Dude, that guy is awesome.
The Chad Patrick Show.
Yeah.
We interviewed Chad Patrick, and he's a handicapper. And man, he made it sound so sweet, so simple, but you can tell he puts the work in.
Oh yeah. Well, and then like he said, you know, he's not for you if you're trying to bet a couple days a week and that's it, because he's hammering everything there is to bet every day of the week, because that's how he makes his money.
And I got some good advice out of that, which one is, you know, he was talking about, if you got $1,000, how much should you bet per bet? And what do you say, $10?
Yeah, he said break it into $10 units, and then you get 100 bets out of it.
Yeah. And I was like, damn.
And you bet dogs, and when you think about it,
do that, you're less likely to panic about the one bet.
Yep.
I mean, he had a lot of good knowledge.
Yeah, I like it too, his take on NCAA tournament. I'm going to try that this year, because if you think about it, if you bet all dogs through the first weekend, when you come to the Sweet 16, you never have 1 through 4 in every region. There's always a couple of lower seeds, double digits, a 7. So.
Yeah. He hates parlays.
He does, which really hurt my heart because I love parlays.
But then he started dropping some facts.
Yeah.
And then it made me like kind of agree with him. But man, you can win so much more on parlays, but that's why the house usually wins.
Yeah.
The odds go up so much.
Yeah. The numbers he had on what you take from a parlay as opposed to a
like what the casino has to earmark for money. Yep. Like a straight bet's like 5% of the money.
Yep.
But a parlay is 35% of the money.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, we're pretty sure we're getting this.
Yeah. The parlay was getting, it was half of what slots are, and slots are a guaranteed moneymaker.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy with gambling going as widespread as it has. You know, we're starting to get some stories about some, you know, inappropriate things happening with athletes and whatnot. But honestly, for as widespread as gambling's become, it really hasn't been that bad.
Well, the money in professional sports is so big that you're never going to get.
It's not like the 60s.
Yeah, you're never going to get a top-tier athlete who is going to bet or wager or shave points. You might get a guy who's 9th or 10th guy on an NBA bench, 12th man, but even that 12th man is making $750 to $1,000 or to $1 million a year. And how much could he really affect a game?
Well, even in college, you can't get people now. Mm-mm. Because they're getting paid legitimate.
Yep.
I mean,
the only place that you're going to get guys in college, in my opinion, is if you go to the Summit or the Horizon.
The kids
that aren't going pro. You can get some of those guys to shave for you, but you're not getting a guy who's playing for Duke or Carolina or any of that.
All right, so I have some NCAA questions for you. I came prepared.
Okay.
I knew we were going to talk a little March Madness because we have some conference tournaments going on, and I have a list of the teams that have already qualified. And I'm going to tell you the name of the team, and I just need you to tell me where the hell they're from.
Oh, this is being a guess.
The location. Right. So I'm going to give you some easy ones. College of Charleston.
South Carolina.
Yeah, that's easy, right? South Dakota State. You know what city it's in? I didn't write it down.
It is in Sioux Falls. Okay. Well, actually, it's just north of there. It's in Aberdeen.
All right, and then Montana State. That's an easy one. Yep. I didn't write down the city there. But let's go into some other ones. So St. Mary's has punched their ticket.
They are from California.
They are. Stetson University.
Stetson University. I believe they're from Texas.
You know, you would think that. Stetson, Cowboys, Texas. Your logic is not flawed. albeit completely wrong. They're in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Longwood.
Longwood. Longwood. They are from New Jersey.
Farmville, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Oakland.
Michigan, Detroit.
Ah, you're right. Rochester, Michigan.
Yep.
Drake.
Drake is from Indiana.
I'll give you another guess.
Drake. Illinois?
Nah, they're in Des Moines.
Iowa. I knew it was one of those eyes.
Morehead State.
Kentucky.
Yeah. Wagner.
Wagner, Indiana.
New York City.
Damn.
Colgate.
New York.
Correct. McNeese State.
New Jersey.
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And last but not least, JMU. James Madison.
Virginia.
Harrisonburg, Virginia. Good job. But isn't that what happens, though? You always see these schools that pop up, and we've heard the names of them. You've heard of your Mercers and your Canisiuses and all these, but like, how often are you ever watching these and having no idea where they even exist?
Yep. That's a really cool thing about March Madness, and I hope that it stays at 68 teams. I heard of
them
expanding the tournament, man.
Why would you ruin this?
It's perfect right now.
Like you're at the right balance, I think, where you're going to maximize money, maximize profits, and not dilute the product.
At this point, if you can't make it into a field of 68, why are you?
You're literally going to make the season not matter.
And really, there's 6 or 8 or 10 teams each year that can win it. Beyond that, it's just for betting purposes and, oh, we made the tournament, I put it on my resume, that sort of thing. Team 58 has the same chance to win it a lot of years as team 28. So you don't need to go to 72, 78, 88. It gets so diluted at that point. Because what happens when you go that way? It's just like the bowl system. It was great in theory. Now you find teams that are 15 and 15 on the year that you have to put into the tournament.
It's not. I like how we still do the automatic qualifiers.
Yeah.
I love that. Make your conference tournament matter.
The only thing that I don't like about what we do is that you'll have an Indiana State and another team from their conference that are both like 24 and 7, but only one can make the tournament.
I sleep just fine.
I do too. I'm just saying, if I were going to do one thing, I would change it so one of those teams gets in and a
Biggie. I know the Manhattan Jaspers
don't make it.
I know the Manhattan Jaspers went 25-4, but they're not getting out of the first round.
Do you know who has the most wins in college basketball so far this season?
This season?
Yeah.
There's somebody that's like 27-3, right?
No more than that.
Oh, there's a one-loss team.
There's a three-loss team.
Is it a three-loss team? I don't know. I feel like I heard this the other day, but my absent mind has no idea.
Okay, I'll give you two clues. Tim Lyle played there.
Oh, it's James Madison.
Yeah. The second clue I was going to be, they got to play in a bowl game this year.
It's just that they're on the list. Yeah. They made the list.
Well, it's funny. They're 31-3, but the reason I bring them up is they moved from 1AA or whatever you call it, FCS, into it. In 2 years on the football side, they won 10 games, got to play in a bowl game. The basketball
when they
side,
weren't supposed to.
Yeah, they won 31 games. So I think it's really cool to see a school that steps up in competition and doesn't take a step back.
Yeah, I remember, you know, we're in West Virginia. I remember when Marshall moved up from FBS or FCS to FBS, and damn it, man, they also had a guy that was pretty good at receiver.
Yeah, Randy.
But that helps. But it's crazy. Like, you know, out of that, you had Doug Chapman played in the NFL for a while at running back. You had Chad Pennington at quarterback, Randy Moss, and then Byron Leftwich comes through there.
Yep.
Like, out of a little school like Marshall, like, all they have, like, how could they not sustain that? I mean,
That's what I've always thought with how they build smaller schools now and with NIL. If you had money in Huntington, there's no reason that Marshall couldn't become a version of a Gonzaga.
That is true, but Gonzaga don't have a football program.
Yeah, but I just
but like JMU, what are they doing in this landscape?
Yeah.
Like, how are they able to just assume
so much more? They're in the same damn conference as Marshall.
Yeah, I don't understand how you're able to do that now.
Yeah.
Like, who would want to transfer to the up and coming school that has no legacy or history?
I don't know.
But yeah, here they are. Or maybe that's the thing. Maybe they just get the best of the players that don't get NIL money. Sorry, we don't have any owl money here, but we got playing time.
They should be John Marshall University, like James Madison. Gives them more prestige.
It does. Yeah.
Okay, I'll get off of that.
But that'd be JMU. Yeah, we can't have two JMUs.
Yeah.
See, this is ruining things. Oh, man. Well, I know we have fantasy basketball is coming to a close. It's almost playoff time. I'm so upset. I feel like I could have made the playoffs if we just had another week.
Made a nice run at the end.
Made a nice run at the end because I actually started doing my roster every day. And because what I learned was if I would do the set lineup for the week, it was never right. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Like, it would set the worst lineup possible.
Yeah. Yeah. On the days that where everyone's playing, you have to go in and put your better players in. Otherwise, your studs are on the bench.
Or sometimes they wouldn't even put starters in. And then because they just listed as date.
Yeah.
It's time decisions. Like, we'll put them on the bench. They may not play.
Yep.
I hate it. And when you got Zion and AD and, you know, Lillard, and these guys are injury prone all year.
I've been in second place for a long time. Game out of first, fell to a couple games out of first. Last 2 weeks, it's been rough for me. Last week, I played Greg, and he beat me 7-2. I dropped from second to fourth. Him and Drew are playing each other this week. They're going to beat each other up. I got Turbo Tommy, so I'm going to win 8-1. So I'll be back into the number two spot, and I'll have a bye.
I have not lost in 5 weeks. I've won five weeks in a row. It was too late. It was too late.
Too little, too late. Well, your team, you drafted your whole team based on
it. It was built that way, too. Yeah. It was built like if they all get healthy, it'll be good. But we also have fantasy baseball coming up, not this coming weekend, but it's next weekend. We have
our draft. 23rd is our draft.
So any feelings on how you might draft for fantasy baseball?
I'll probably avoid Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Hey, 3 months?
Yeah. That's what it's looking like. Luckily, I've done one baseball draft online through a Greg league with some of Greg's buddies, and he started one for the America's Pastime. So I'll get to do two online drafts before I do our live draft, which should help me some kind of see where guys are falling. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'm curious on is I like to see how guys fall from year to year. Because guys like Bryce Harper were always like a top five pick, right? A couple drafts that I've seen done mock-wise, and then the one draft I did, he was a mid-second round pick in all of them.
That's crazy. But you know what, though? It seems like there's enough talent to go around for the first two rounds. You know, where in years past, like your first top six or eight, you kind of knew what that was going to be. I'm not saying it's still not like that, but the depth at the top is as good as it's ever been.
And there is two things. I think that Spencer Strider and Yamamoto are going to be the two best starters, and they're both worth the first-round pick.
Some people don't like doing pitchers in the first.
Yeah. It depends. I mean, we do the 5-5 league, so if you got a dominant starter, he's going to get you wins, ERA, whip, and strikeouts. It's worth it. But when I go into a draft, I never go in with a preconceived, I'm only going to draft this way. I try and draft, fill out the roster, best player available, because baseball, your roster's so deep. The only thing I'll do is if we get into rounds 5 or 6 and I've been building on offense because that's where the better players have been for me and some starters go,
make a run on relievers.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a really good strategy of that last year. My offense sucked, but I won pitching all the time because I was so heavy on relievers. Yep. And then what was nice is, I lost in the playoffs, which sucked, but a couple months in, people were looking for closers. They ain't got them. It's like, well, I got five.
You build your trade bait.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you just got to value them correctly.
That's like the Warner version of drafting four quarterbacks.
Exactly. But, man, it got so hard to trade last year. It wasn't fun. It took the fun out of it. Everybody got so in their feels. Everybody was like, teams value players differently. Like, there might be a shortstop that's ranked 20th overall, and you're getting a pitcher that's ranked 90th, and people say it's not fair. Well, that person might have the 40th ranked shortstop on their roster.
Yep.
So they don't care that they're giving that up. But they need the pitcher, and maybe that's the best look that they're getting for that pitcher. But people are like, it's not fair. It's unbalanced.
I think too many times when we view trades, we look at it player per player instead of team per team need. And when you look at team for team need, usually it makes sense. But when you just look at player player, we're all like, oh, no, veto it. You can't do number 20 for number 90. Well, if it's number 20 for number 78, number 94.
Like both teams might be getting better out of this trade.
Yep.
But it's like everybody's children.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
Bunch of grown men crying about people that they don't know and they can't think they control.
Man, we need to try to get a bracket going, and we need to do a prize. We need to do something. I don't know what. We got to talk about that off air. But
yeah. Well, I got one I'll send out Sunday night for the March Madness.
So yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. So I don't know if we want to do like some hoodies or something like that. You know, maybe we gotta dive into the podcast funds and pull up a nice gift. Maybe we can get some action there, which hey, maybe one of us will win and then we don't have to worry about it. You never know.
I do the one I've been doing the last few years, I just do $20 a person. But it would be cool if we could do one.
I mean we got 100,000 followers, man. Maybe.
And the winner gets a hoodie and a beanie. They get a box.
If we could get something. History. I got to check the rules on what social media allows us to do. But like if everybody signed up for like $5, and what if we got 100 people, you know? Or what if half of our 100,000 followers signed up? Wouldn't that be amazing?
This page has went defunct, out of business.
<You're> right.
No longer listed.
They're having to fill out some. No, that's something else. Yeah. But they'd probably make us fill out some IRS paperwork for that big of a pool. But I don't know how that works. We'll have to make sure we vet that the proper way. But I did have this question for you. I've never done this before, except for in NFL. And I feel like we ought to do it this coming year. Survival picks. Because we do the podcast every week. And so sometimes, like, what happens is once you lose, it kind of uses, it's fun. Yeah. But I think for us, where there's four or five of us on the show, I think we can keep survival football going. But what about survival March Madness?
Survival March Madness would be pretty interesting. Survival pool for NFL picks. If any of us made it past week 8, halfway, I'd be surprised.
Right. But once you make it so far, you can start over.
Yep.
You know, it's fine. But I guess
everybody throws in $20, and once everyone's out, you start again.
Would March Madness work?
Well, what would happen? Yeah, it would work, but you'd have a lot of people going chalk.
Right, but you just
give me Duke, give me Houston.
Do you do it out of the brackets, like one out of each bracket?
No, you got to do whole tournament.
Just one overall.
Yep.
Because that's not very many. You know, I mean, because how many rounds are there? There's
six rounds.
Yeah. So you're only picking six schools.
Yep.
But here's what will happen. There'll be some people that, like, you don't want to take a one or a two right away. So people are going to take a four or a dreaded five.
Or there's, yeah.
I feel really good about this five seed. You can't ever feel good about a five seed because they're playing a 12.
Exactly.
And then somebody's out in the first round and it would be hilarious. But, you know, by the time you get to, you know, Sweet 16, it gets a lot harder.
Yeah. I feel like the teams that would get chosen. And the first two rounds would be really top heavy. But once you get to the Sweet 16, then it becomes a little more fun because all of a sudden, a seven versus seven versus two, or maybe a 10 beat a two. So now you got a seven versus a 10. Well,
the way it gets fun is if teams that you picked in the first or second round make it to the Sweet 16, because then you're limited on options. You know, instead of 16, you only got 14 that you can pick from. And then in the Elite Eight, what if three teams you picked were in there? So then, you know, you can all, which they'd have to for the most part. I mean, I could see it getting interesting. I think we ought to try it. Just give it an old college try, see how it goes.
I'm down for it.
I don't know.
A couple of years ago, two or three years ago, the year after COVID or the year before it, I hit 15 out of 16 for my Sweet 16 teams. Best I'd ever done. I was in the top 3% of ESPN brackets. The pool that I run for ESPN Bracket Challenge, I didn't win.
But it'll change on a
whim.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. So I had
100% out for the first three rounds. And the next thing you know, you're trash.
But two of my final four teams, a one seed and a two seed, both lost their first Sweet 16 game. Boom. There goes all your points.
I won. I can't remember the year. But I finished I finished a bracket. Now, I probably did like three or four brackets, but I finished on ESPN ranked 71st. That was the best I ever did.
And that's impressive.
I really thought I was going to win because when you're ranked that high, you're always like in that top percentile. So I was like, oh my God, I was in the top 200 like the entire time, except for like the first week. But anyway, the year it was, on a whim, I just decided to put George Mason in the Final Four.
That was a nice run. That was when Jim Larranaga was their head coach.
But I missed every other part of the Final Four that year, so it didn't matter. It was good. And once, like, it came into the Final Four, but then unless George Mason won it all, which I didn't even pick him win it all, like, I was capped. I couldn't win anymore. And I think at one point I was like 19 or 18, and then all I did was just slide back.
Yep.
That's because I couldn't do it.
You couldn't earn any
points. I was done. I was calling it a night. But I don't ever expect it to, in that, that's how hard it is. You can't even talk about, remember when I won? No, it's like 1 year in 2012, I had a good bracket. Like, yeah. That's, everybody's bracket's in the trash after the first fucking day.
I look at it like this. Mr. Warner won ours last year. He didn't watch any college basketball.
He just go chalk?
No, he did a few different. He had UConn winning it, and I think there were
four. Oh, I remember that. What was it? They were five seed?
I believe so. Four or five, yep.
But it's like you almost have to pick a 1 through 4 seed to win it all, right?
Yeah.
Like there ain't no – it's not going to be a 6.
Usually you're – 1 through 4 or 5, so that'd be your top 4 or your top 16 or 20. That's about your top 20, rankings throughout the year. One of those teams always wins it. I mean, it's cool to have a George Mason or a Loyola that makes
it. But they all.
Never won. Last year, FAU.
Even Butler that 1 year.
Yep. Two years in a row, Butler did
it. I feel like what's happening is with all the movement amongst players, It's more likely that some of these lesser schools can pull off the upsets. Yep. Now we've seen it more lately, seen 16 seeds lose, seen 15 seeds lose. And like you would go years and not see that happen.
Well, there's the 116 that beat Virginia, but the 15 beating a 2, you felt like was something you saw like once every like maybe 5 years or some 8 years. It didn't happen a lot.
It wasn't impossible, but it was improbable.
But now like Purdue lost last year.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah.
Where are they at?
Fairleigh Dickinson. I'm saying they're Midwestern.
That's they definitely have a Midwestern name. Let's see. You want to guess a state?
Fairleigh Dickinson. If I had to guess, I'm gonna say Missouri.
You said New Jersey 3 times earlier.
Yeah,
they're in New Jersey.
Ah.
We don't know shit about fuck.
Nope.
At least when it comes to college names. Well, brother, I think that about wraps it up for tonight, because what people don't know yet until you're listening to the other episode, we had a long ass conversation with Chad Patrick talking about all things gambling and all things Ohio State, Michigan. We got down those rabbit holes, college football, everything else. He had a lot to say.
Yeah. Listen to that interview and go give him a follow on his social media platforms. He was great, well-versed in college football. He's got all the angles on gambling, and he enjoys him some Vegas movies.
Yeah, he does. He does. He wants the mob to come back to Vegas.
Yep.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I agree with him.
You can't do the mob nowadays.
No.
You can't.
But, Chad, all the mob is the government that actually turns a profit.
I mean, that's all the mob is now is the government.
Yeah.
But you can't do, like, you can't do the Goodfellas anymore.
No.
You can't do Godfather. You can't even do Sopranos.
Nope.
That's fair. Social media, smartphones, it killed all that stuff.
Yep.
Now you take a picture of everything, take video of everything, and you can put it online. Think about the world we're in. Within like 10 seconds, you could videotape it, plaster it on the World Wide Web, and it's there forever.
Well, it's like that thing that happened in, where was it? Was it Miami? The giant aliens running, where all these cops from? Like 15 minutes after it happened, it was on every social media. Like, and 15 minutes is a long time for something that's
why,
a big event.
That's why we don't know anything anymore.
Yeah.
We're so distracted by everything because you can see it, and then everybody's got an attention span of 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, it's like Jeff Foxworthy's got that bit about why is the boat all glittery? We're attracted to shiny things.
We are. We like it. It gives us that dopamine, and that makes life go by. But All right, man. Well, everyone, appreciate you letting us invade your ears once again to the We Don't Know Sports podcast. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're on every platform. Make sure you check out our website, www.wdksports.us. You can see our entire guest catalog, our library, every episode, and even a lot of our social media stuff creeps over there. So if you don't like to do the endless scroll on Facebook or Twitter or X or Instagram, TikTok might go away. Did you see that?
I saw that, and I think what will end up happening is the way I understood it is they would try to ban it here, but then there's a group here that would buy the American TikTok. So it would still be TikTok, but it wouldn't be Chinese owned or something. There was like an angle to it
instead of the Chinese government. Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Well, until that happens, we're going to keep using the old Chinese TikTok. But until next episode, everyone have a wonderful week, a great weekend. Again, thanks for letting us be part of it. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.